Sports Business Journal will hold our first Twitter space called Strictly Business. Join us to discuss the latest news in the sports biz tomorrow, Thursday, April 21st, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitter. Be sure to follow SBJ on Twitter at SBJSBD. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, April 20th. I'm Abe Madcor. I am with you today. I'm off to Arizona tonight, where I'll spend time with legendary sports law professor Glenn Wong and students at Arizona State University on Thursday. I'm looking forward to seeing them. But we have a very busy news day. We start with more and more details about MLB's Jersey Ad Patch Initiative. The San Diego Padres were the first movers when it comes to jersey ads in baseball. They became the first team to announce a jersey deal, signing Motorola to a deal that will see the patch on their jerseys beginning with the 2023 season. Yes, next season. This is the first such deal to be unveiled by a baseball club since the league finalized the details of its ad patch program late last month. So Motorola signs a long-term deal with the Padres, becoming the official smartphone partner of the Padres. Padres officials said they've had discussions about this deal for well over a year, well before this became permissible, of course, with the new collective bargaining agreement. Remember, the patch program begins in 2023, but Motorola's sponsorship of the Padres has already begun, including signage in left field at Petco Park. While terms of the deal were not disclosed, sources told SBJ the club will get around $10 million per year. That is notable for a team in one of baseball's smallest markets, and it shows the valuation, the early valuation of the jersey ad patch. Meanwhile, SBJ's Terry Lefton reports that Excel Sports Management has won an agency shootout to sell the Angels jersey ad patch. And now, why is that important? Well, the Angels patch is especially popular because, of course, Shohei Ohtani's endorsement appeal in Japan. So the Angels are being seen as almost like a bellwether in terms of the valuation of the jersey ad patch. So they land with Excel Sports Management, who will take the lead to sell that. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have hired Sport 5 to secure partnerships, not just for its jersey ad patch program, but a field presenting sponsorship at Dodger Stadium. This has been in the marketplace before. Now the Dodgers retain Sport 5 to help them sell not just the jersey patch, but the field sponsorship. Sources said the Dodgers are looking for as much as $20 million per year for naming rights to Dodger Stadium turf, to the field. So this is very interesting inventory that Sport 5 will be trying to sell. Again, Dodgers looking for up to $20 million a year for that. So some major commercial assets in the marketplace right now for Major League Baseball. So you're going to want to keep your eye on the deals that are taking place. Some news out of the NFL in two markets yesterday. First, some discouraging news out of my hometown of Charlotte, where the Carolina Panthers and owner David Tepper have ceased their agreement with the city of Rock Hill to build a headquarters that was part of a 240-acre development. It was going to be owned by the team in South Carolina. The entire complex was scheduled to be, you know, offices, headquarters, practice facilities, indoor and outdoor fields, all estimated to cost around $800 million in terms of the total development. So right now that project has ceased. It's not clear really what has gone down here. Okay, we've talked about this on the Buzzcast. The team, the Panthers, said the city of Rock Hill became delinquent on their obligation to fund the infrastructure and the development. But city leaders have disputed that. You know, I've been following this development since the start. I've said on the Buzzcast how much promise this development had. This was going to be modeled after the Star in Frisco and the Minnesota Vikings complex in Eagan. Construction began in the summer of 2020 in Rock Hill, which is about 20 miles south of Charlotte. It was scheduled to be completed in 2023, but now all of that is on hold. And so many people didn't like the fact that the team was building this development in South Carolina in the first place. Many thought it was a first move by David Tepper to leverage a new state-of-the-art facility in South Carolina. But unless somehow they can save this deal, and the way they could save it, I'm sure that David Tepper would want to renegotiate a number of deal points. He could work with the county more than the city, but it's still uncertain if this deal can be saved. Regardless, this will impact David Tepper's standing in this region. And let's just say that South Carolina politicians won't forget this experience if the Panthers walk away from this facility in Rock Hill, which is their intent to do after yesterday's news. So outside of the Panthers, there was also news around the Buffalo Bills, who formally announced they have hired legends to lead planning, project management, sales, and partnerships, including naming rights for the team's new stadium in Orchard Park. Remember, legends did similar work around the Raiders and around the Rams and Chargers at SoFi. So they will provide most of the soup to nuts planning and project management for the new building. It is unclear right now whether Legends will handle concessions at the new building. Those are currently handled by Delaware North, which is, of course, a Buffalo-based company. So Legends lands a big deal with the Buffalo Bills. Let's move over to college sports. A tip of the cap to Oakview Group and the University of Texas as the Moody Center opens tonight on campus in Austin. It opens with a John Mayer concert Wednesday and Thursday. They have Bon Jovi coming in this weekend. The new Austin Arena is the latest opening by Oakview Group. Remember, they are behind Climate Pledge in Seattle and UBS in New York City. This one is about a 10,000-seat facility on campus at the University of Texas. Very intimate facility, cost nearly $400 million. The University of Texas will control the building and revenue on days of university events, and Oakview Group really controls everything else on concerts and other outside events. Oakview Group is also selling sponsorships around the building, and Oakview Group said interest around the concert series that they already have very strong. Oakview Group said almost all of their announced concerts are sold out. So a very interesting business relationship between Oakview and the University of Texas. Moody Center opens today in Austin. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that Billie Jean King is among some of the backers who are starting a new incubator to support startups focused on women in sports. It's called the Trailblazer Venture Studio. Now, this will be handled by RGA Ventures, Elysian Park, the Dodgers, and Billie Jean King Enterprises. It's a three-month program with 6 to 8 startups, and investments can range from $200,000 to $2 million. Elysian Park will be the main investor, and Billie Jean King will offer relationships and connections, but this is a great startup, again, focused on women and sports. The startups in the program will focus on health, to nutrition, to also fan engagement and fan experience. So we'll want to keep an eye on some of the startups that come out of Trailblazer Venture Studio. Some interesting news out of Hollywood first. The Hollywood Reporter has that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are teaming up for a film on former Nike executive Sonny Vaccaro. If you know Sonny Vaccaro's story, incredibly colorful. Ben Affleck will direct, he'll write, he'll co-star and produce the film. Damon will star and also write and produce. Also, Mandalay Pictures, which is run by well-known sports executive Peter Guber, will also produce the film. Now, Damon will portray Sonny Vaccaro. Ben Affleck will portray Phil Knight, and that's a story around Nike's effort to sign Michael Jordan in the mid-80s. We know how that deal worked out. But no timetable has been given for this project, but this is a pretty interesting group to do a very interesting story. So count me as among those looking forward to this. Meanwhile, a little bit more buzz on Winning Time. Jerry West's legal team wants an apology and a retraction for his portrayal in HBO's Lakers-focused series called Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. I don't know if you've been watching it, but if you have been, I'd be interested to what you think of it. In a statement, Jerry West and his attorneys claim the show falsely and cruelly portrays Jerry West as an out-of-control, intoxicated rageaholic. Now, the portrayal of West is a surprise to me. I will note that those people I know close to Jerry West or who worked with Jerry West over the years have said and have told me they feel the depiction of Jerry West in Winning Time is not the West they worked with at all, and they don't feel it's very fair for what it's worth. But Jerry West not taking too kindly to his portrayal in Winning Time. Meanwhile, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made clear his opinions on Winning Time, saying he called it deliberately dishonest, but also drearily dull. So you continue to see some chatter here around this series. Be interested to hear your thoughts on the show Winning Time, which is, of course, about the Lakers franchise during the late 1980s. And so let's end like we do around people. The Athletic is reporting that Washington State President Kirk Schultz has emerged as a favorite to become the Big 12's next commissioner. Remember, current Big 12 commissioner Bob Bowlesby stepping down. The Athletic reports that Washington State President Kirk Schultz is an early favorite to become the next Big 12 commissioner. So that is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, April 20th. I'm Abe Madcore. Remember, I will be in Arizona on Thursday and Friday. You will have the Buzzcast brought to you by managing editor David Albright. Until I speak to you on Monday, stay healthy, be good to each other, and have a great week.